Okay, I believe we have wrapped ourselves with the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. Somebody said whole house. Where they were sitting, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I pray that God would fill the house. Amen. Amen. And Peter stood up and said, addressed the crowd, and he began to explain to them. And he said, these men aren't drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, says God, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Okay. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, I tried to get together two or three different things today, and I kept going back to this. And, you know, as you stand up and preach every Sunday, you're thinking, Lord, I just want a word that's for the people there today. And it's some things that you're going to know probably, but it's just to refresh our mind about the new nature that we got when we got saved. Because we live in a world and we go through things, and so we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded today of who we are, that we are a spirit. And the new nature that we got when we got saved. Amen? So I've come with some good news today. Amen? The gospel is good news. And anything you read in here is good news. So the good news is we're not evolved from animals. I know sometimes we have family that acts like monkeys, swinging from one thing to the next, restless. Amen? And we've got some people acting like bears, just gruntled over everything that comes and goes in life. But he said, I've come to give you peace. Amen. That we're not moved by what's around us. But I've come to give you peace. Amen? And we're not here because of some big bang. Amen? So aren't you glad this morning that you're not who you are because of how you act sometimes? Amen? Because we are a work in progress. Amen? And so we are here by a spoken word from God. You know, he didn't take his hands and make anything. Spoken word. And I'm getting another message ready along with 10 other. Pastor, I never saw the day that I'd have so much to preach. I didn't know what to preach. But I'm getting a message ready called Command the Word. We are to command the Word, you know. And so we are here by a spoken word from God. You know what he took his hands to do? Made man from the clay. Everything else, it was by his spoken word. That's why we got to watch what we say. In Genesis 1:26, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image and in our likeness. Wow. The Message Bible said, let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature. We are called to reflect the nature of God. Amen? So if you're born again, you are a son, you're a daughter, you're a son of God. You know, there's a whole lot of people out there that believes in the spiritual realm or the spiritual world. Because they dabble in all kinds of things. Amen? So they believe that there's something out there. Amen? Outside, around us, and above us. But when you get to talking to people, and even church people, but because of religion, they've not been taught. But when you get to talking about the spiritual being that's on each side of all of us, the real us, the core of who we are, then they'd be like, huh? They begin to say, are you dabbling in something? No, I'm telling you who you are, who you really are. The Word tells us that we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit being that have a soul and lives in a body. That's a whole different message. But the real us is our spiritual person. It's that spiritual man inside of us. Why? Because we have the breath of God inside of us. He is the one that created us. And like I said before, when we got saved, we recognized we needed a Savior. We got saved and we were so excited and couldn't wait to go tell somebody. That's because we got reconnected. Our spirit man got born again, reconnected to the one that spoke us into existence. That's why there was this fire inside of us, because at that point we became alive. We became alive at that point. We became born again. The core of us, the real of us, became alive. Hallelujah. We didn't know life until then, really. Amen? We didn't really know life until then. The 1 Thessalonians says, 5:23, may the God who gives us peace make you holy in every way. May he keep your whole being, our whole being, body, spirit, soul, and body, blameless when our Lord Jesus comes. So it's in our spirit that we've really been totally changed and made just like Jesus. And very few church-going people, Sunday after Sunday, know who they are in the spirit. And they're trying to strive and struggle through life because they don't know who they are, whose they are, and why they are. I need to preach that message again. Who you are is because of whose you are, and whose you are is because of it will make you who you are. Amen? And once we get that revelation, it changes our view on life. Most have been taught by religion that we're just sinners by nature. The Bible says in Psalms 51:5 that it's sinful as at birth from the time my mother conceived us. So we're all born sinners and had at one time that nature of the enemy working in us before we got born again. But listen what Ephesians 2:3 says. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, custom, and values of the world. That was the old you, okay? Obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. Before we got born again, we was out there doing what we wanted to do, when we wanted to do it, how we wanted to do it, and who we wanted to do it with. We live by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But, but that changed when we came to Christ and received salvation. We became a new person in the Spirit. Whew! So the rest of that Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 6 says, but God still loved us. Because if he had quit loving us when we was out there doing all that crazy stuff, walking in rebellion, amen, then those cords of love would have never drawn us into him. But he was always out there pursuing us, protecting us, taking care of us when we were out there doing those things that could have killed us. But he was out there protecting us and loving us all the while. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. Saved us, delivered us by his wonderful grace. Raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him. Amen. You're not down here and he's not up there. We ascended with him. Hallelujah. Into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated one with Christ. You are seated in the heavenly places beside Jesus. Isn't that exciting? You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Begin to see yourself like that. Amen? If 2 Corinthians says, going to be using a lot of scripture today. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation. Hallelujah. A new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Woo! Glory to God. So this isn't talking about your body. If you were a man before you accepted Christ, you're still going to be a man afterwards. I don't care how you dress, how you act, or how many surgeries you have, you're going to be a man. If you were a woman before you accepted Christ, you're still going to be a woman after that. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care about our bodies and wants us to take care of them, but that's not the part of you that has changed. But that change will help the outside. Amen? So your body didn't change, and your soul, which is what the Bible calls the mental and emotional part of us, didn't automatically change either. That's why when, you know, in the Baptist church, somebody got saved and they went out and started drinking the next week or started crowding around or whatever, well, they didn't get saved. They have not had their minds renewed yet. We're not to judge whether someone has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord because they're out there still doing things. You can live like that forever and live a miserable, bummed up, broken, self-pity life and go to heaven. But the life that he wants to give you is that life now, on the way, until we get to that place called eternity. Amen? So it's subject to change. That part of us is subject to change. Only how you and how much you're willing to apply the Word to that, the truth of the Word. It's subject to change, but you have to renew your mind to experience that change in your emotions. And it's something that has to be done intentionally. You have to be willing to change. So I mean, well, I like to sin. We'll just keep on sinning and see where it takes you. Amen? So that is where the battle is at, is in our mind. Amen? Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that part of you that didn't get changed when you got saved. The Passion Bible says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Don't be like them, because you're not like them. Be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit, and it's not within your power to do it. You just have to submit and want to change through a total reformation of how you think. Be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfied and perfect in His eyes. The Amplified Bible says in an awesome way, too. Don't be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude. May God give us a new attitude of how we think. Amen. At good is what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God, even the thing which is good, acceptable, and perfect in His sight for you. When you begin to transform your mind with the Word, you will begin to understand and see what the perfect will of God is for your life. Amen? So now that we're born again, we do not live according to the principles of this world and this age. We belong to a different kingdom now, and we must be about our Father's business to bring that kingdom into the earth. Because the kingdom of God is in you. Amen. Like Pastor said, we're in this world. We're not of this world. We're here just for a few moments of time when you really think about it. And what time we're here, we've got to be making a difference with the kingdom power that's been made available to us. So we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light when we accept Jesus Christ as the Savior, and we got a new nature. Our spirit man was reborn again. Your spirit, it became a brand new being. Your spirit is totally new. 2 Corinthians, I think I just read that a while ago. The fresh and new has come. I mean, the core of who you are, there is not an old sin nature left in you. Most Christians have been taught to believe that after salvation, they are just saved. Hallelujah. I got my ticket to heaven. Bypassed hell. But it's more than that. It's more than, so much more than that. Amen. But they quit and give up because they cannot find themselves overcoming their past or overcoming that old nature that they're so trying hard to get away from. And you've got to continue to renew your mind to the truth of the Word that says, that's what I was, this is what I am, and this is where I'm going. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. Don't judge me by where I am right now. I'm not all the way transformed yet to my new nature that God says is in me. But praise be to God, we are all further along the road than where we were. And if we are not, it's not nobody's fault but our own. Because we are not intentionally applying the truth of that Word. Woo! This is good stuff, amen? Hallelujah. But they quit, and people quit and give up because they cannot find themselves overcoming their past, and they think they're not saved because they mess up. Because religion has told them that. That when you get saved, you're perfect. You're going to quit cussing. You're going to quit smoking. You're going to quit sleeping around. You're going to quit drinking. You're going to. At some point, you will. But you have to continue. And some people get delivered just like that. Praise God for that. But some of us are in a deeper mess than some other people. Amen. It takes us a little bit longer to find out who we are. But praise God, we made it. That's the point. We made it. Hallelujah. So they don't realize the change that took place at the core of their being. You know, that's one of the most important things that you can tell a new Christian. Get into the Word. Get discipled. Find out who you are. Find out who that new nature is. At the moment of conversion, we receive that new nature. The former, the old man, is the former way of life of that of an unbeliever. And as an unbeliever, you only have the capacity to sin. If you're not a believer, the only thing you know to do is sin. There's nothing in you that's changed. You think that is just a way of life, doing what you do whenever you want to do it. That is the nature that you have in you. But now that you've become born again, you have a different capacity, and that is the power of the new nature to resist sinning. Woo! Hallelujah. As a believer, you now have the capacity for godliness because of the Spirit of God that lives within you. You now have the capacity of a believer, of a born-again child of God. And He's given you the power to overcome anything that has held you in bondage. Woo! Hey! Glory to God. Whether it's any kind of addiction, pornography, drugs, anything. If you will submit yourself to God, that chain will be broken off of your life. Hallelujah. Hey! Glory to God. Woo! So we're no longer slaves. And that's what sin makes us. That's what addiction makes us. It's slaves to that thing that we're doing over and over again. We are a slave to that. Romans 6:18 says that we have been set free from sin and have become now slaves to righteousness. We do what is right. In the eyes of God, according to the truth of His Word. Why? Because we have a new nature. We have a new capacity to walk in truth and to walk in light of the Word. We have that within us now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when Christ was crucified, the old man was crucified with Him, resulting in the Christian no longer being a slave to sin. Thank God. Paul talks about it in Romans 6 through 5, where he talks about dead to sin and alive. And alive to Christ. He says, what shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace and favor and mercy may multiply and overflow? You know, it's like I said one time, God don't make us sick to prove that He can heal. God don't make us sin to prove His grace and mercy. Amen.
Certainly not.
Paul says, certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? Are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus was baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by the baptism unto death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually, intentionally live and behave in newness of life. And it just don't automatically happen. You have to intentionally put yourself into the Word and be willing to change. For if we become one with Him by sharing a death like His, we also shall be one with Him in sharing His resurrection. Woo! The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, quickens your mortal body. By a new life lived for God. We know that our old, unrenewed self, Paul says, was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective. Might be made ineffective for evil, that we might no longer be the slaves of sin. For when a man dies, he is freed, loosed, delivered from the power of sin among men. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, because we know that Christ, the anointed one, being once raised from the dead, shall never die again. Death no longer has the power over him. For by the death he died to sin, ending his relationship to it. When you were born again, you ended your relationship to sin. You might say, well, why do I keep doing it? You just keep practicing the Word. You just keep repeating the Word over and over. Intentionally put yourself. You're going to wake up one morning, that addiction's going to be gone. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So don't allow yourself to be condemned because you're involved in something that's not scriptural. You keep applying the Word. Keep putting pressure on that thing. You'll wake up one morning and you'll just be delivered. You'll no longer want that cigarette. You won't no longer want that drink. You'll no longer want to turn the internet to pornography. It's just not there. The desire to sin is just gone. Amen. Keep applying pressure to that thing with the Word of God. Amen. And that Word is a seed. And God's promise that it would not go into that ground and not come back up and accomplish something. Amen. Even so, consider yourself also dead to sin. That thing that you can't get broken from, consider yourself dead to it. Speak to it. You're dead. You can no longer rule over me. I'm a slave of righteousness now. Relation to it is broken, but alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship. And that's another key there. Unbroken fellowship with God, with Him in Christ Jesus. All about having a relationship with Father God through Jesus Christ. And when you're in that relationship, and when you're in that love relationship, there's a part of you that wants to please God. Not a pleasing that you tried to get something from Him or earn His favor, but because you are so in love that, oh, you just want to please Him. You want to live for Him. You want to act right. You want to witness for Him and be all that He's called you to be. So people be saying, are you crazy? I still struggle. I'm not dead to sin. You just say, but that's not what the Word says. Let's go back to the Word. Let's go back to the truth of the Word. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we have to continue to renew our mind to the truth of what Paul said in Romans 6 that I just read. I'm dead to sin. And I'm alive to God. Ephesians 4 through 4, the rest of that scripture says, regarding your previous way of life, before you got saved, you put off your old self, completely discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires. Here it goes again. And be continually renewed. Your way of thinking, I put that in there. Be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, your way of thinking. Having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, Godlike in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. And that's what I was talking about, that love relationship that we all should have with God. So the battle is in the mind, as I said before. The battle is in your mind. We have more problem with what's between our ears than anything. Amen? So I've heard it said our minds are similar to computers in the sense that they can be programmed. Our minds, it knows nothing except what it has been fed. The same thing with a computer. You feed a computer, it has the knowledge of what you put in there. Type those keys, and it'll receive what you put in it. Our minds can be affected by data or viruses. Remember what I taught on that Wednesday night about all that chatter around us, that we go out there in the world and we hear all this. That's why we have to go back to the Word and renew our mind again after being out there among people that don't believe like we believe. The more of the Word we renew our minds with, we will become slowly transformed. And then we'll begin to see that change taking place in our life. Why? Because we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So your mind will reject or accept thoughts according to what it knows about the Word. You know how you're growing and maturing in the Lord and in the Word? You think you're not growing and maturing? You get out there and let somebody start talking against the truth of the Word or say something contrary that you know the truth, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute here. What is that? That's your mind rejecting what's been said that you know that's not truth. Amen. Isn't that awesome? You'll hear something, you're going, red flag, red flag. That's your mind rejecting what you know to be the truth. And listen, folks, there's some people, you just have to let them go and believe what they want to believe. And all you can do is just be a witness to them, just be a witness in how you live your life. Don't argue the Scripture with people, because people that want to argue the Scripture, that's exactly what they want to do, argue the Scriptures. You live a life that's pleasing to God, and when they get in trouble, they're going to come to you. Amen? So we have to program our mind and reprogram it and reboot it, so to speak, the mind with the truth of what we know the Word says. You know, as you grow in your relationship with God and begin to mature in the Word at that point. Since we're all born in sin and our old sin nature programmed our minds how to be selfish, how to be angry, amen, how to be bitter, how to be unforgiven, how to be offended. We just sinned and kept on sinning, and we didn't think anything about it because we weren't saved or we hadn't got the new nature. But once we accepted that, we took on the new man, and sin should become repulsive to us. Sin should become repulsive to us. You know, you can go back to your old party and places, and it's not just like it used to be. You can talk to your old friends, and you thought, really good friends, and you're thinking, they're not my tribe anymore. And if those people are your tribe, then something's wrong. You're not getting renewed in the Word. Those people just, you know, you all are my tribe. I look out there, and I see my tribe sitting out there. Amen? That old tribe that used to hang with, it just doesn't work anymore. Amen. Not that you don't love them, you'll be there for them, but you're being transformed by the Word. Amen. To a better way of life. Amen. So you should be uncomfortable in the presence of sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So victory, and the key to victory and walking in the Christian life is simple. It's as simple as renewing our minds to who we are and what we've already saved in Jesus Christ. It's nothing hard about it. If you're tired of being the way you are, get into the Word and find out what you can do about it. So when our minds are renewed, we will continually renew in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. The Scripture that I read before. Our thinking begins to change. For as he thinketh in his heart, the Bible tells us, so are you. And when our thinking begins to change, our talking begins to change. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So when your mind starts being transformed to the truth of who you are and who God is and what the Word has to say about you, your mind begins to be transformed, your thinking begins to change, and then you begin to speak that truth into existence because you begin to command that word to do what it says it would do. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I don't know about you, but I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to sin. Amen. I'm not a slave to sin. And the more I see myself as he sees me, the more I see the total change that took place in the core of who I am, the spirit person, who I am, the more I'm becoming like him. The more I'm becoming like him. And the biggest revelation that I got that set me free was when I received from the Word on who I have become in my spirit. Not how I acted sometimes. Not because of my past. But because who I have become in the spirit that has made the lasting change in my life. And once you get a revelation of that, there is no turning back. Because at that point, your actions, your attitude, and everything will start to change from that point. Because I realize at times if I slip up and say something or something like that, then I don't have to put myself under condemnation for it. But I see myself as he sees me, someone that's righteous, someone that's holy, someone that's covered in the blood, that's in right standing with him. So God is a spirit, and he deals with all of us on the basis of who we are in him. The spirit, this has changed everything. This will change your way of thinking. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. He's a spiritual being. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So we worship God based on who we are in the spirit and not how we act in the flesh sometimes or in the old nature. Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 in closing, just a few more things. My spirit is his workmanship. Ephesians 2:10. But we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. Recreating Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he has prearranged and made ready for us. 1 Timothy 1:9 says, I'm redeemed from the law because the law wasn't made for a righteous man. Romans 3:19-21 says the law was given to show us our need for salvation, but it couldn't save us. But what the law couldn't do, Jesus did. Amen. We're under truth and grace now. Amen. For Romans 8:3-4, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh or the old nature, but according to the Spirit. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Whether you act like it or not, that's the way God sees you. He sees you righteous. Amen. He sees you blameless. Amen. So then in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we in him we might become the righteousness of God. This entitles us to everything that God is and has for us, not for our own earning, simply because he loves us, and he took that chance on us through reckless love. Amen. John 17:17 says, sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself, make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. Progressive sanctification is the process by which God develops his new nature, enabling us to grow more Christ-like through time. This new nature has already been given to us as believers, but its transforming power is experienced when we become sanctified by the Word. Amen. Aren't you glad for the new nature? That you are not who you used to be. You're not what people say, but you are what God says about you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your Word today, that we are becoming more and more and more and more and more like you every day. Oh, thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for that new nature of the core of who we are. We just thank you for your word today. Thank you that for this time that we've just wrapped ourselves in your presence and in your love, and just be reminded today of how much you love each and every one of us, and that you've not forsaken us or abandoned us, and you're not about to let us go. But you move everything out of the way so that you can get to just that one that cries out to you. Hallelujah. You may stand today. Father, I just speak your favor and blessings over your people today. This upcoming week, with decisions they have to make and things they have to do and jobs they have to go to, that we're called to be a light in this dark world. And we thank you, Father, that we have the mind of Christ in everything that we do, that wisdom lives big in us, that peace reigns supreme in us, and to know that there's nothing impossible with you. And we just give it to you, and you work it out, Lord. And we just thank you for that. I just speak your favor over your people, that we are walking in the overflow and that we're blessed to be a blessing. And you're not withholding anything from us. And we're not waiting, but we're walking in the overflow right now. And the church said, amen.